You're listening to the Brown Girl Podcast, a new show discussing various cultural and mainstream topics that impact our community from the perspectives of South Asian women. The show also aims to highlight South Asian women creators, business owners, and pioneers who are paving the way for future generations. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever your podcasts are found. If you're on Instagram, give us a follow at thebrowngirl_podcast to stay up to date on new releases and stay engaged with our community. Thanks for tuning in. Hey guys, my name is Julie George. I'm the host of this show. If you're new here, welcome. Thank you so much for tuning in today. So a quick update on this show. I am now aiming to release podcast episodes every 2 weeks as opposed to monthly, which is what I was doing before. So make sure you are subscribed on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you can get those notifications. If you have any suggestions for topics or guests that you'd like to hear from, please let me know. You can find our contact information in the show notes. So for today, we have a really intriguing and fascinating story. You're going to hear from Sana Akand. She is an entrepreneur currently based out of New York City, and she and her husband are together and in love, but have chosen to live in different households within New York City. So I actually came across Sana through TikTok and saw her viral video, and I thought, people need to hear this story. So I'm excited that she accepted my invitation to come on the show and share her story of why her and her husband decided to go down this path. I hope you guys enjoy today's episode. Okay, Sana, thank you so much for being here today. So you had a TikTok video that went viral, 1 million plus views, and you shared about how you and your husband are together but have chosen to live in separate apartments in New York City. Tell us about the journey. Like, how did you get to this place of being like, yeah, this is what makes sense for us right now?
Yeah, so I guess growing up, I've always kind of been like a little bit of a rebel where I was like, oh, let me kind of make my life my way. So like after college, I started my own wedding planning business instead of like going the corporate route. But then when I got married, so I was 25 when I got married and I never lived alone. I went straight from like living with my parents to living with my husband. And fast forward like 7 years of marriage, I was just having a conversation with my husband and I was like, you know, like I've always had this dream of like having my own apartment and having my company in New York and dating a guy that I really, really love. And I was like, I feel like I just will never get to do that. And my husband was like, wait, why not? He's a big believer in like if you have a dream, you should achieve it and you should have no regrets in life. So he was like, let's just do it. Like, who cares? Like, we don't have any kids. We don't have assets. Like, let's just do it. And then we did. And then I moved into my adorable little studio apartment in Upper East Side and he went to Upper West Side. And now this is what we're doing.
So, okay. So I know you mentioned like when we were talking off mic, you kind of talked about how you'd been married for several years and you found yourself just like falling into this routine, kind of falling into a routine of defaulting to these, you know, cultural gender norms of being a good wife and putting all of your husband's needs first. Talk to us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that growing up, I'm sure many can relate. My mom always taught me how to be a good wife. She never, like, I was never taught how to manage my money or like how to become, you know, rich and successful and powerful. I was always taught like be a good wife, put your husband first, learn how to cook, and like no one's gonna love you or respect you if you don't know how to cook, blah blah blah. So at the time I'm like, yeah, whatever mom, but like I don't really care. But then when I got married, it's so funny how like subconsciously I just found myself falling into these traditional roles. Mm-hmm. And like I would make sure that he ate three times a day. Like if he's working late, I'm like making dinner and being like, hey, like make sure he eats before, or like even lunch, like especially now during COVID when we were living and working from home, I'm building my business and he's working and I would be like, oh, let me stop what I'm doing and make him lunch. And then it's like getting in the way of like my career because I'm like not putting myself first and my career first. I'm putting him first. So yeah, also, he makes a lot more money than I do. So we were living in a very beautiful luxury high-rise apartment building in New York City because that's what he wanted. And I felt like I'm like living off of his money, and I never felt financially independent. Mm-hmm. And I kind of had those like triggering thoughts of like, oh, my parents supported me my whole life and now my husband is supporting me. Like, I want to support myself.
Yeah. So I'm curious, like, was that what your husband wanted of you in terms of, you know, like the gender roles that we talked about? Did he want you to do that? Or was that you kind of like taking it upon yourself to fill that role because that's what you thought you needed to do?
Yeah, he didn't at all. Because I would like be like, hey, like you didn't even say thank you for me cooking for you or whatever. He's like, I don't need you to cook for me. Like, I'm an adult. I could take care of myself. Like, I don't want you to be inconvenienced to take care of me. So it was definitely all like just my own subconscious and like my own like thoughts and beliefs of what, how a woman shows love to the person she loves.
Sure. So how long has it been since you guys have now started living apart?
So we've been living apart for 6 months now.
So when you posted this TikTok, were you expecting to go viral? Like, did you already have a big following prior to this? And what's it been like since that? Since
it's so funny because I have like a lot of people that interact with me on Instagram, but for me, TikTok was a place that I can like hide mm-hmm. and like kind of go under the radar and post whatever I want, and like no one that I know is seeing this, so it's a safe space. And then it's funny because when we decided to live apart, we were worried that our friends and family were going to think that we're getting separated and that we're getting a divorce. So we actually were like, let's not tell anyone and just do our life our way. Like, who needs to really know anything? And it's so weird that in January, I was like, oh, fuck it. Let me just like post a 7-second video. And it got 1.5 million views. I'm getting like calls and messages from like my aunts and uncles and cousins. And everyone's like, I didn't know you were doing this. What the hell? And I was like, oh, shit. Like, definitely was not prepared for anyone that knew us personally to even see it, to even know. And yeah, my life just changed.
Yeah. Do you feel that this, you know, living apart has made your relationship stronger? I know I was reading one of the articles that you were on, and you mentioned in the article that living apart has lit your world back up and improved your intimacy tenfold. Like, tell us about that.
Yeah, like our communication has gotten so much better, and we also like are so incredibly excited to see each other again, and we're like planning date nights. Like, okay, so when we were living together, I think that the biggest thing that gets in the way of that initial like fiery love that brings you guys together are all of the little bickering moments that happen when you start living together. Like, who's going to take out the trash? Who's going to do the laundry? Who's going to like vacuum, blah, blah, blah. And then like, if I like just cleaned the house and he like made it dirty again, I would be like, what the hell, man? And like, these things, you just end up like forgetting how attracted you are to the person that you're living with or married to or in love with. And just like I'm going to bed and I'm just like wearing whatever is comfortable because it's my house. And now I'm like, I'm sleeping over my husband's house on Friday night. So let me like, you know, put in a little extra effort into myself, and like, let me get my nails done. Let me like get my hair done for date night. Like, I have all week now to prepare for like an incredible weekend with my husband. And it's amazing.
So it's like you're literally dating your husband. I think that's so awesome. Cause you know, we often hear of like these stories of married couples falling into just the rut of life, and they describe their relationships as being like roommates, you know, where it's not bad, but it's not amazing either.
And so, and I thought that that was just life. Like, I thought like, okay, you're past the honeymoon phase and now this is how life is going to be forever.
Yeah. And so it's like you just either stay stuck, maybe you go to therapy or find other solutions to like consciously work together to change that. Or, you know, they just eventually drift apart and decide to part ways. And so you guys were like, in this space of feeling like this just kind of feels mediocre. Like, how about we try something different? And it seems like it's working out beautifully for
and
you.
And we knew we didn't want to get a divorce. Like, we love each other so much. Like, I know for a fact I want to spend like the rest of my life with this man. Mm-hmm. So like, I just couldn't understand why I didn't love him the way I did when we were first falling in love. And I wanted to get that feeling back.
Yeah. So, okay, you said you were 25 when you got married, and now you're 32, right? So it's been 7 years, is that correct?
Yeah.
Is there a part of you that wishes you had gotten married later in life? Like, I don't want to use the word regret because I don't really like that word. I really feel
no,
like...
I think that I wish that my husband and I stuck to our guns in that moment and didn't let culture pressure get to us. But at the same time, like, if we went against our parents, then he wouldn't have the love and respect from my parents that he has now. Mm-hmm. And we didn't want to risk, like, our parents thinking and worrying that we're living in sin and that, like, we're doing something behind their back, and then we don't have the blessing of their love on our love. So I don't regret it, but yeah, I mean, if people have a choice right now, yeah, I would tell them, like, if you don't feel ready for marriage, wait, go find yourself and go, like, discover self-love and then get married.
Oh my gosh, yes, totally. Like, when I have kids, I'm gonna tell them to wait as long as possible, like, at least until they're in their 30s to get married. You know, like, use your 20s, like, live your life, go figure yourself out, like, get that job, go
be a kid, like, go have fun.
Like, I mean, because going through all of that stuff builds character. Like, there's so much growth that happens when you have to be alone.
Yeah, you're just too easily influenced when you're younger, and it takes a while to understand that what society is telling you you're supposed to like and this and that doesn't always. It's not always the case, and you have to discover who you are outside of all that social media bullshit.
Yeah. Tell us about your husband. Like, what's he like?
He's awesome. He is a CPA. He's a finance bro in New York City. He doesn't have the finance bro personality, thank God. He's very, very kind and nurturing and supportive and just like a super hilarious dad jokes type of dude.
Were you, when you decided to do this, were you concerned that there was a chance that this could drive you guys apart rather than bring you closer? Like, do you think that your marriage would have stayed together, like, had you not chosen to spend time apart?
Yeah, so I think we definitely would have ended up staying together for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think it was never a talk of, like, separation or anything like that. Sure. But yeah, I had deep, dark fears that we were going to grow apart. And I remember listening to that Selena Gomez song, I Needed to Lose You to Love Me or whatever. And it's so true. Like, I needed to risk losing him in order to find myself, because I was just loving him too much and more than I was loving myself. Mm-hmm. And I needed to, like, pull that love back for a little while so that I could pour it back into myself.
Yeah. You know, personal development, I truly believe, is a very lonely journey. Like, there's just certain things that you kind of just have to go through alone to really get it, to really, like, come out on the other side and feel like, shit, I just grew, you know, 7 layers of skin right there. And I know that whatever comes next, I can conquer that. So that's awesome. What was it like when you first moved out? Like, what was that first day? What was that first week? What was that first month like?
A lot of crying. Yeah. A lot of insecurities, a lot of darkness, a lot of, like, I remember calling him when I was at, like, a really low point and being like, this is the stupidest thing we've ever done. Like, let's just move back in together. I can't do this. Like, I don't want to do this. And he was so supportive. And he was like, listen, it'll be worth it. Like, just try it. Like, I believe that we could do hard things. Like, it's going to be worth it. We don't want to go back to the way it was because it wasn't working in the best way possible. And yeah, he just kind of like supported me, walked me through my low moments, and he was like, "You got this." And I was like, "Okay, I got this."
He sounds like such a solid rock star husband.
I'm literally the luckiest person in the entire universe.
Let's talk through logistics. Okay, so how often do you guys get to see each other now?
Okay, so we spend like 2-3 nights a week together, definitely on the weekends, and then sometimes we'll do like a lunch or dinner during the week.
Okay.
So we talk every day, we text all day, we FaceTime every day. Yeah.
So you guys both live in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And how far?
So he's in Upper West Side, I'm in Upper East Side, so it's a 30-minute walk or a 15-minute bus ride.
Okay. So New York City is expensive. How did you guys rationalize, you know, paying two rents in New York City? Because most couples move in together to save money.
Yeah, so we actually are paying the same amount as we were when we were in our luxury high-rise apartment. And now we're in two walk-ups. I'm in a studio, he's in a one-bedroom. So we downgraded our, like, comfort and lifestyle significantly in order to have, you know, more love and peace and happiness.
So what is, I guess, what's the plan? Like, how long do you think you guys are going to do this? Or do you think it's going to be a forever thing?
No, definitely not forever. I miss living with him a lot. And I think that now that we know who we are and we remember who we are independently of our relationship, I think we're ready. We're definitely talking about getting an apartment together in LA in July. So we'll probably start living together again. But we did talk about it. I was like, well, you know, maybe we just get two apartments in LA. Like, it's not like that. So we'll see. But yeah, now I'm like scared that if we do live together, what if I lose my individuality?
Wow. This is such a fascinating story. So tell us about, okay, I'm curious how your family reacted.
Yeah, that was a big one. Obviously, they were very confused and they didn't really understand it. My mom, as I talked to her more and more about it, she was like, wait a minute, like, I get it. Like, you get to literally have peace, quiet, solitude. Like, that sounds amazing. She even was like calling me every day in the beginning, and she's like, what did you do today on your solo day in New York? And she's like kind of like living vicariously through me. But my dad did not get it. I think my dad was kind of offended at like why I chose. I was like, I don't like living with a man. Like, men are dirty. Like, I want to like clean house. And my dad was just like, what do you mean? Like, this is life. Like, stop being a child. Like, grow up. And I was like, I know what like doesn't work. Like, I've seen so many people in unhappy, unfulfilled marriages or end up divorced. And I was like, I don't want to end up that way with someone I love. I want to protect our love and try to see like how we can make it great.
Wow. I'm truly so inspired by your story. Like, I think you are a total badass. We're all rooting for you. What advice or, you know, parting words do you have? Do you want to leave for listeners?
Yeah, I think like a theme of my life is that I would like to tell people is like, it's your life to live. You have one life to live. It's yours. Hit them with a plot twist at any time. Like, who cares what people think about your choices and like how crazy it may seem? Like, they don't have to live your life. They don't know what's going on behind the closed doors. Like, just do whatever feels the most authentically you as possible.
Yeah, totally. I mean, so this is a South Asian centered podcast. So, you know, we can all understand that sentiment of like all the deeply rooted trauma that exists in our culture and just, you know, pervasive expectations and thoughts and nuances that come with that. And so it's just, I think it's just so awesome that, you know, you're sharing your story. It's just, it's such a gift to the world because it lets other people know that they're not alone and they don't have to, you know, be a victim to whatever the circumstances are.
Exactly. Thank you.
So I know you have a business, you've got a podcast and some other fun projects going on. Like, before we wrap up, like, tell us about that. Tell us how people can find you, follow you, listen to you.
Yeah. So I'm the CEO of Friendship Club, which is a membership community in New York City to make some new friends. So if you're in New York, definitely check it out. It's $10 a month and it's a lot of fun. And then my podcast is called Make Your Own Rules, which I took a little bit of a hiatus during this entire journey that I've been on. So I'm going to pick that back up as well. And I'm writing my first book. So hopefully that'll be out in 2023.
That's amazing. Well, there you go, folks. Sana, this was a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on, sharing your story. No, again, Julie. I'm really inspired by you. I think you're amazing. And we're all rooting for you.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.